Welcome to the video series on sociocultural theory in language learning, teaching, and assessment. In the previous video, we discussed interventionist dynamic assessment. In this video, we focus on the other type of dynamic assessment, interactionist dynamic assessment. As in the previous video, we'll be operating with terms such as zone of proximal development, mediation. This will be briefly discussed, but the assumption is that you saw the videos where those concepts are explained. Links to these videos will be in this video description. We will discuss some characteristic features of interactionist dynamic assessment, particularly the concepts of reciprocity and transcendence, which are relevant to both interactionist and interventionist dynamic assessment, but are particularly important in interactionist dynamic assessment. And then we'll finally discuss one practical example of interactionist DA for assessing and promoting a student's understanding of Russian idioms, or then phraseological units. So in the previous video, we discussed interventionist dynamic assessment, and we talked about the focus of it being on assessing learners, even though both assessing and teaching are parts of it. Likewise, in interactionist dynamic assessments, both foci are there, but there is a stronger emphasis on promoting learner development, regardless of the effort which is needed for that from the teacher. So the emphasis is not any longer on learners' comparability or comparing the learners where they are in terms of their zone of proximal development, but on promoting the development of learners. So when we talked about interventionist DA, we discussed that mediation during that kind of dynamic assessment, so mediation being contingent, dialogical assistance whose goal is to promote learner development, right? In interventionist DA, it is standardized. It's the same for all learners. Things work quite differently in interactionist dynamic assessment. While mediation does follow from sort of implicit to explicit, so as to create opportunities for learners to develop, right, by being targeted to learners on proximal development, which is the range of abilities that emerge in interaction with others. Mediation in interactionist DA is highly flexible and individualized, and it emerges in interaction with learners rather than following the same patterns for all. Two notions become really important in this process, and one of them, a particularly important one, is reciprocity, or then the learner's responsiveness to mediation. And it informs how teachers or assessors can adjust mediation during dynamic assessment. So the understanding of reciprocity emerges from realization that any mediation both limits the way that the learner can react and creates new opportunities for the learners to react, like novel ways to react to a situation or the response, right? And the quality of this responsiveness gives teacher the information as to how the following mediation can be given, how it can be adjusted. For example, if a teacher, seeing the learner's struggles, ask what's wrong, this creates an opportunity for the learner to verbalize the struggle, as we discussed in a different video. And this verbalization sort of completes their thinking about their struggle, right? They're verbalizing it, and they themselves understand it better. And this gives the teacher the information about how to mediate the learner further. The teacher can, or the learner can be unresponsive, for example, to the following teacher's mediation, which tells the teacher that a different or maybe more explicit kind of guidance is needed. Or the learner can recall the previous activity in the classroom, which again gives the teacher some information about how close the learner is to independent functioning, and the teacher could build on that and say, yes, wow, remember that? Great, what did we do there? And so on. Or the learners could just simply resolve it when they say, like, well, try again. And the learner say, ah, that's the one, right? And that would mean that no further mediation is needed. Transcendence, then, is how learners can transfer this new knowledge and understanding to a different situation. It's not the same context, but a different situation. And it's not about just using that, right, knowledge and understanding, but it's about adapting that and reconstructing that to successfully mediate this new context or one's performance in that. And the teachers can enable transcendence by bringing together the mediational means and understanding that emerge during dynamic assessment session, like at the end of it, for example, making it for the learner to be more likely to transfer those to a new situation, to regulate their performance in this new context or situation. So let's analyze together how this can happen with the following practical example, where a university learner of Russian is struggling with an idiom or then phraseological unit in Russian.
No mä jään miettimään tuota lausetta, että mitä se oikein tarkoittaa. Tuossa on periaatteessa se konteksti selvä. Mm-hmm. Tuossa viimeisessä lauseessa tulee esille, että se matkustaja varmaan haluaisi nukkua. Mm-hmm. Tai että se on varmaan ehkä nukahtamaisillaan tai nukahtamassa siihen penkkiä. Mm-hmm. Tekee vähän semmoista tämmöistä tai suomeksi pilkkiä.
Joo.
All right, so this is a typical multiple choice item taken from a story by Mikhail Zoshchenko. The goal of this activity was to connect the knowledge of different types of idioms in a phraseology lecture in a course. In this item, should the learner not know the idiom, the learner has to recognize the particular sort of idiom type, which has been translated into English as phraseological combination or phraseological unity. So ample context is given for the learner to recognize what the meaning of the idiom could be. The sentence read here, my fellow passengers were not really good, not really talkative. One of them, then there is a gap, he wants to sleep, you know. And the idioms are then to lead somebody a dance or to fool somebody. The second one is to feel down. It's oftentimes it's used in a negative meaning, like to keep one's chin up, not to feel down. Don't feel down. And the third one is to be drowsy or to need not. So by giving the learner the agency to verbalize her thinking, the assessor gets a lot of information. The learner is not able to complete the task herself, and were it in a typical assessment situation, this is where the assessment would stop. Okay, not ready. But that is dynamic assessment, so it starts here, as you remember. So, giving the learner agency to verbalize her struggle, the assessor learns that the learner, first of all, recognizes the context. That is what the idiom should mean, should be about. Should be about sleeping. The assessor also learns that the learner has an idea of the kind of movement that the person makes when falling asleep, being on a train or in a bus. And this gives the assessor the basis for mediation. However, the assessor doesn't yet start, but continues to probe further.
Kyllä. Mitä sä itse mietit, kumpi näistä on oikea vastaus?
No ei ainakaan tuo ensimmäinen, tuo vagits sanos. Mä luulen, että se suomeksi tarkoittaa samaa asiaa, eli niin kuin vetää nenästä, eli huijata.
Kyllä.
All right, so the learner then reveals that in the Finnish language there is a similar phraseological unit as in Russian. So beyond completing the task, one option less, which is not really relevant for dynamic assessment, this means that the learner has an implicit idea or understanding that the meaning of some phraseological unit could be understood through the metaphorical meaning of these parts, if they're considered together. And this is where the assessor begins to shift from to guiding the learner.
Muistatko, mitä fraseologismin tyyppejä on olemassa venäjän kielessä?
En muista.
Ahaa. Arvaa, mitä fraseologismi se on ja mitä se tarkoittaa?
No siinä kissa itkee. Mä oon kuullut tämän aikaisemmin. Jos kissa itkee, sehän on pieni eläin, se itkisi tosi tosi vähän. Eli kun kissa itkee, niin se on niin kuin mitättömän vähän periaatteessa.
Kyllä.
All right. So when the learners first ask whether they remember what kinds of phraseological units are there in Russian, and she says she does not, as assessment, this tells the assessor that this should be taught more to the learner, right? As guidance, it tells the learner that using this academic knowledge of phraseological units can help her recognize this and their meanings. From here, the assessor's task is to help the learner build this true concept of phraseological unities so that she could apply this implicit knowledge of this, as she demonstrated by her head movement at the start of the video, beyond the context at hand. We talked about true concepts in a different video. Here I'll mention that this is about everyday concepts or spontaneous concepts becoming or sort of coming together with scientific concepts. And the assessor's task is then to bring this two together for the learner. So the first thing that the assessor does here is to show the learner a slide with a crying cat, asking if she recognizes what it means. And she does, saying that that's meaning can be rendered from as kind of something very small because the cat is a small animal and they cry a little. So this is a pretty easy phraseological unit or unity, but this again gives the basis for the assessor to build on it. Now that the learner recognizes this phraseological unity, it can be connected to the academic explanation, the type of this phraseological unit.
Ja se on semmoinen fraseologismityyppi kuin fraseologinen yhtymä, venäjäksi fraseologическое единство. Ja se on semmoinen fraseologismi, joka merkitystä voi niin kuin arvata sen komponentin tai osien metaforisesta merkitystä niin kuin kokonaisuutena. Ja. No, esimerkiksi, tiedätkö, mitä se считать varon on?
All right. So, the assessor then turns to the scientific concept of phraseological unity, listing its characteristics and focusing particularly on the fact that their meanings can be deduced from the metaphorical meanings of the components in them as unity. And then props further, asking if learner knows the meaning of the idiom, whose meaning is to daydream, word for word to count crows. This is needed for two reasons. First, to check if further mediation is needed, and Second, to enable transcendence, right? This moving the knowledge from the task at hand to different situation or a different idiom here.
Joo, tuossa onkin tuo havainnollistava kuva, että varikset pyörii tuossa pään ympärillä. Kun niitä laskee, niin ei muista kiinnittää huomiota siihen ympäristöön.
Just, kyllä. Ja siinä tulee samalla lailla, niin kun kissa on pieni eläin ja se varmasti niin kuin itke vähän ja siitä tulee sen fraseologisen merkitys vähän, eli sitten niin kuin todella vähän.
Yes, so this time the learner verbalizes the idea of the idiom building on the picture supplied, but also on this academic concept that the assessor introduces to that, showing to the assessor that the learner now operates with this academic knowledge, right? Signaling that the meaning comes from the whole unity. And the assessor confirms that, coming back to the cat, right, and linking back to the learner's description of this phraseological unit.
Okei, voitko nyt, tai saatko nyt, yritätkö nyt niin kuin sanoa, mitä se oikea vastaus voisi olla? Sä tiedät, että se ensimmäinen jo, että se on no, kuitenkin samalla kuin suomen kielessä meillä.
Mm.
Mitä se toinen tarkoittaa?
Mä en tiedä muuta kuin tuo, että Vierschaits on niin kuin ripustaa, niin sehän voisi jo periaatteessa olla se ripustusliike.
Joo. No oikeasti se tarkoittaa Vierschaitnos, kun ilmiö on vähän niin kuin suurullinen, sitten se nenä alla. Ja siinä tulee se fraseologismi. Niin kuin merkitty, se on kokonaisuudena ja monet komponentit yhdessä.
Okay.
All right. So this is when the assessor finally comes back to the tasks, hoping that the learner can now solve it, right? The second option here is not very easy one, and the learner tries to solve it, but here the way that they talk about it, right? It's not about them being a unity or metaphorical meaning of the components as a unity. She tries to figure out building just one word there. So what the assessor does, brings learner back to this academic concept of phraseological unity, right? Metaphorical meaning of the components as a whole and explaining how the meaning emerges in this particular one. Right, and what it means, like when you're feel down, right, your nose is kind of is pointing down, it's as if you're kind of hanging down a bit. So it is evident at this point but that the answer is the third option, but the assessor's goal is not that, of course. And let's see how the interaction completes.
Okay.
Joo, mitä se kolmas voisi?
No, kolmas on sitten kyllä se oikea vastaus, kun nuo kaksi muuta ei ollut, mutta kiva, että sehän on niin kuin nokkia.
Joo.
Eli periaatteessa siinä tulisi se pilkkimisen liike.
Kyllä. Ja niin kuin kokonaisuudessa se tulee se liike, kun sä teet semmoinen. Niin kuin,
ja, okei. Aivan.
All right. So this is... As I said, it's evident that it's not the third option. And this is what, or that is the third option, and the learner says that, right? But the assessor wants to know how the learner responds. So instead of saying like, "What's the right option?" the assessor says, "What does the third option mean?" Right? And the learner's explanation now is very similar to how it all started. But there is an important difference. But now. There is understanding behind that. So it sort of the learner is able to connect that to the scientific concept a phraseological unity, right, with this everyday concept of as indicated by her movement, right? And at the very end, the assessor brings the whole interaction together, again focusing on the scientific concept of the phraseological unity, reminding the learner very briefly that the meaning of phraseological unities can be recognized from the metaphorical meaning of the components as a whole. The goal is again transcendence here. The assessor creates the opportunity for the learner to connect this knowledge to a novel context. Right, the goal of the whole activity is to make sure that the quality of the fruits of the learner development is ensured. Right, so here the assessor focused on instructing the learner. The probing served to uncover the learner abilities and the process of maturing so that the assessor could build on them. Right, being sensitive on how the learner responded when guiding learner development, even making similar movements as the learner did. This concludes this video and this part of the resource on assessment. Now we should know more what dynamic assessment is all about, the types of dynamic assessment, how mediation can be organized in dynamic assessment in different ways, and why reciprocity and transcendence are important. As always, links to other videos that could help you better understand the topic of this video will be in the video description. Thank you.